Well, it's hard to believe, but this Sunday is the last Sunday of 2021. And if we look around, if we consider other people besides ourselves, we can see that it's so much more. You know, I've long asked a question and wanted to understand, what is the meaning of Boxing Day? You know, if you have a calendar like mine, or if you use an online calendar of some kind, it shows up, it says Boxing Day, the day after Christmas. And I've had, in my life, I've had two good ideas of what I thought Boxing Day could have been, but I was pretty sure that neither of them were right. Because I was pretty sure that nobody has a holiday set aside for two guys standing in a ring beating each other's brains out. I was pretty sure that while that would make some sense, Boxing Day, that probably wasn't the meaning of Boxing Day. The other idea that I had, and my brain thinks pretty hard on things sometimes, and that was, it was a day that was just acknowledged as the fact that you get rid of your boxes from Christmas. I'm sure that started when I was a little kid and first saw Boxing Day on a calendar, but throughout the years, that has kind of been, I've never looked into, never thought about what Boxing Day was. And so I did what any good person would do today. I went to Wikipedia, and then I Googled it. And I did some research, I did some looking, and I finally learned what Boxing Day is. And once I found that out, I also found out that in some of countries of the former British Empire, it's actually a federal holiday. And so I was even more convinced that boxing, beating each other up, and throwing out your garbage wasn't the meaning of Boxing Day. Well, what I could come up with was there is a lot of uncertainty about the origins of Boxing Day. Now, there are a couple of things that are pretty certain, but all in all, it really isn't completely understood. It begins with the Catholic tradition, the tradition of the Catholic Church. And while we don't celebrate them, if you have a way to look, you find that there are a whole bunch of feast days in the Catholic Church calendar that represent and go back to and remember different saints of the Catholic Church. Well, today, the 26th of December, is and has been, even before it would have been celebrated as Boxing Day, St. Stephen's Day, or the Feast of St. Stephen. Now, you remember Stephen, the first martyr of the church who was a deacon of the church, selected by the church to be benevolent, to carry out the benevolent mission of the church, who then, sometime later, was stoned by the leaders of a synagogue because they didn't want to hear the message that Stephen was sharing. And so for millennia, for at least most of, well, all of the last millennia and most of the first millennia of the ADs, St. Stephen has been recognized very early in the church calendar. And his holiday, his feast day is, well, it's today. Today is St. Stephen's Day, and I'm not sure how I should recognize that. Merry St. Stephen's Day, happy St. Stephen's Day. It's St. Stephen's Day. Well, sometime around 1100, Pope Innocent III said, you know what? We will allow the churches to put a box in the entryway and in the narthex of the church for a period of time. And so they would put these boxes out alongside of their offering collection boxes, because believe it or not, believe it or not, the churches having boxes like we have now to collect offerings is a much older concept than passing a plate or a basket of some kind to pick up an offering. And the Catholic Church, Pope Innocent III, around 1100, said it would be acceptable to put a separate box in the narthex of the church to collect alms or offerings for the poor and the needy. And they would be collected through the Advent season, and they would be opened and distributed on St. Stephen's Day. And so, to some extent, Boxing Day originated with the giving of gifts for the poor. You see, you would give gifts to your family on Christmas. You would give gifts for others who were more needy on St. Stephen's Day. Well, somewhere in history, that day became a day when you would give boxes of things to other people. Particularly, it became a day when you would recognize those in the service industries who gave you service throughout the year. You might go to your butcher and give them a box of something on St. Stephen's Day. You might take a box and give it to the person who delivered your mail on St. Stephen's Day. And eventually, you gave away boxes, and it became known as Boxing Day. You were giving away boxes, but not to the garbage man, unless you thought his service was really good and you gave him a generous gift. But it's given, they were given in the honor or in the recognition of the work of Jesus giving his life for us. And so I'm not sure what the proper greeting is. I'm going to say Happy Boxing Day. And Merry Boxing Day. I'm not sure. You've got a new one to add to your list, Lauren. We decided several years ago that the standard greeting of Happy Holidays wasn't good enough. So we've decided that it's Merapi Nuthank Quanconcomus. And if you care to figure them out, we got all of the major holidays we could think of between Thanksgiving and Christmas, or New Year's. Now we have to add Boxing Day. Don't know how it's going to work.
They've already got it figured out.
It didn't take long. If it was something important, it might take all day. If it's something like that, it takes my family 2 seconds. But giving things away is the meaning of the day, St. Stephen's Day, Boxing Day. And in many ways, that is what our text this morning from the book of Micah is proclaiming and talking about. Our main text is going to be Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, but in actuality, it is Micah, no matter what my fingers said. Listen to the voice, not do what I say, not what I did. I don't know how that happened, because in my notes, all I do is hit the button and it's supposed to populate off my notes, and my notes again and again and again all say Micah. I don't know where Malachi came from on that. Some days, technology is great. Other days, it's there to make me look funny. Anyway, we're going to be in Micah chapter 6, even though it says Malachi. And we will actually be Malachi chapter 6 and Malachi verse... Now it's got me doing it.
That's my grandson, Malachi, over at the house right now.
Well, he should be here. Maybe he would make more sense of what I'm doing. Micah. We'll be in Micah chapter 6 and verse 7. But in Micah chapter 6, we find what is probably the second most well-known passage of Scripture from the book of Micah, even if you do not know that's where it's from. as my fingers evidently didn't. But it also may be one of the three or four most well-recognized passages of Scripture, at least since the 1960s and the Civil Rights Movement here in the United States, from the book of the 12, or the Minor Prophets. So we're going to begin this morning with Micah chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. It says, "And what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul?" And the answer is
no.
Thank you. The answer is no. Micah is asking the question and just expecting that we all will give the answer no, because that's not how God asks us to respond. But he goes on. He says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" And so we ask the question, how do we truly come to God? What do we truly bring to God? If today is a day that is focused on giving, how do we offer true offerings? And Micah asks the question about sacrifices. Do we bring sacrifices? And the answer is yes. If Micah was asking this to the people, and the way he writes it, his intended answer for the people is no in this particular circumstance. But the answer is yes. Yes, we bring sacrifices and we bring offerings to God because God instituted them. If we go back to Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, what do you find? That God instituted the sacrifices that would be acceptable to come before him. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, because of the sin of you and me, we would, if we were living before the time of Jesus, if we were living then, the way to come to God was to bring a sacrifice. And the sacrifice you brought depended on the sin that you had committed. Was it intentional? Was it unintentional? Was it something that in the eyes of man was a big sin? I killed somebody, I murdered somebody, or was it I forgot to make it to the temple for the last of the great feasts? You know, you brought a sacrifice dependent and equal to the sin that you had committed, because that was how you made right the sins that you had committed. If you sinned, there needed to be a sacrifice. And you and I have sinned, and there needed to be a sacrifice. And we can look now with the writers of the New Testament and say that, well, no, we don't have to bring a live animal as a sacrifice, because Jesus was the sacrifice for us. But yet, we are called to bring sacrifices of different kinds. You know, Paul says that this is your act of worship, to give your life as a living sacrifice. In other words, to live our lives as if we are dead to ourselves, but we're living for Christ in all we say and all we do. Yes, we're to bring sacrifices. Part of the answer to that question that Micah was asking was, of course, we bring sacrifices. But the answer that Micah was assuming would be given as he asks the whole question was no. No, God doesn't want your sacrifices. The problem is when we come to a point when we realize and we believe that we can give an offering for our sacrifices, we begin to justify the sins that we want to commit, and we simply say, it doesn't matter, I will bring a sacrifice to make up for the sin that I've committed. And evidently, the people in in the time of Micah had gotten to the point where they simply said, you know what? We're going to live however we want to live. We're going to do whatever we want to do. And we'll make our treks to Jerusalem for the feasts, and we will offer sacrifices. Because God will accept us if we offer our sacrifices. But what Micah is saying and what Micah was getting at is that the people could not just assume on God. They could not simply assume that they could sin and bring a sacrifice to God. In fact, if you read the books of Exodus and Leviticus, and you read about the sacrifices, specifically in Leviticus, you find that God says that there were some sins, that not that the sins were so heinous in themselves, but the attitude behind them was so heinous that God said, there's no forgiveness. If you get to the point where you are simply assuming on God, God's going to say, no, that's not how I work. You can't commit a sin knowingly and purposely and with forethought and expect God to simply forgive you. And Paul asks the same kind of question in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. He says, if this is my translation, please don't tell me I said this wrong. He says, if God is giving grace, shouldn't we sin more so that we can receive more grace? And then in the next letters, if we read this correctly, we read the way that Paul wrote it, he's answering the question the same as Micah when he asks, should we bring sacrifices? And if we could read Paul saying this correctly, he would say it emphatically, like all caps, bold letters, extra big font, and several exclamation points, and he would say, no! Sorry, I didn't want to ruin the speakers, so your ears will recover. The speakers, they don't heal so well. But Paul's answer is emphatically, no, in no ways. Never think that that is the case. Because like Micah, Paul will go on in Romans chapter 6 to say, if you sin intentionally, there may come a point where, one, you don't want to come and ask for forgiveness. Because you get to the place where you like your sins so much, you don't want to give them back up. And Paul and Micah are saying the same thing. And so we might ask the question, especially in today's society, is God being schizophrenic? Is there something going on in God where one day he says, bring me sacrifices, the next day he says, don't, halfway through the next sacrifice, he says, oh man, I forgot to tell you, today's not the day, come back tomorrow. Well, the answer to the question is no. God is being very consistent because God desires, as he says elsewhere in Scripture, God desires obedience and not sacrifice. Yes, if we're sinning and we unintentionally sin and we realize that we come to God and we ask for forgiveness. The people in Micah's day were told to bring their sin offerings to seek the forgiveness of God. That's what God wants. But God would prefer that we not sin in the first place so that our sin offerings, our sacrifices for our sins are not needed anymore. You see, that's what Paul is getting at. That's what Micah is saying is, will God forgive us? Will God give more grace when we sin? Yeah, we serve a gracious and loving God, but God doesn't want us to rely upon that grace. God wants us to live out of the grace and the mercy we have already received. So sacrifices? Well, that depends. The second thing that Micah says is that we are to be giving. True offering means that we are giving. Micah says, first of all, that we should be seeking justice. seeking justice. And we can ask a lot about what justice means and what justice is, and we can say that in one sense, justice means that there is a system of law that treats everybody equally and holds everybody accountable to the same way of living. Justice. And throughout the scriptures, throughout the Word of God, that is the most common way that we see the word justice and the concept of justice given. But justice also means that we look out for those who have needs, for those who are lesser than we are. Matthew records Jesus in these words in Matthew chapter 23, beginning with verse 23. He says, "Woe to you Pharisees and hypocrites, for you tithe the mint of your dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things that you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside, they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but on the inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you, too, outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Jesus is looking at these men and he's saying, you know, it's good to bring the sacrifices. It's good to bring the offerings that God requires into the temple, but you should be doing so much more. You should be people who are looking and seeing the needs of other people, and you should be giving. You should be taking what you have and seeing that justice is being served out for those who are less needy. You see, it's not so much like the social justice movement of our day, which says, well, yeah, there have been some things wrong, so you need to treat us better than everybody else. You see, what God is saying is that we treat everybody equally. We look for those who are in need, and we do what we can to meet those needs. We treat somebody special, not because their background is different from us, but because we're striving to treat everybody the same. We treat everybody as their equals, no matter where they come from or what their status in life. We seek justice. Micah also says that we should be kind. You know, we're called to do justice and to give kindness to people, Micah says. And I think about the two of them, and they really do go hand in hand, because you think about what James says in James chapter 14, There are only five chapters in James. I know that. James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. He says, "What use is it, my brother, if you see someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe there is one God, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Whoops, I missed a button to push. Sorry if you were trying to follow along. Paul and James, they're both telling us. Paul looks like he's saying, do justice. James says, be kind. Be kind to one another. Look out for each other. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 25 appears to say the same thing when he says, then the righteous, beginning with verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? You see, Jesus was asking this question, and I accidentally deleted the next verse, which was the last one I wanted, verse 40. It says, the king will answer and said to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. We're supposed to be being kind, looking for people who we can be kind to. We treat everybody the same, justice. We look for people in need and we ask the questions, how can we meet their needs? How can I, from my position, help this person who is in a position of need? And while, yes, sometimes it is giving of alms so they can be distributed by the church, some days it's giving to the benevolent offerings that we encourage so that we can help other people. But many times it is, what can you and what can I do as we see people who have a need? How has God situated us to meet that need? And we have to ask that question. And Jesus said it can be as little as offering a cup of cold water. A cup of cold water on a hot day to somebody who has a need. And Micah gives us one more answer to the question about giving. And he says this. He says, walk humbly. Walk humbly before your Lord. And there's a question that we should be asking. Question that Paul asks in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And the question is this. What do we have that we have not been given? What do you have? What is in your possession right this minute that you have not been given? Paul asks a spiritual or question, especially about spiritual blessings and particularly salvation in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But he's asking so much more. He says this. He says, for who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Why do we look upon ourselves in a particular way because of the possessions that we have, because of the life we get to live, because of the necessities that have been met? Because, well, as James says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Everything we have, everything we need, God provides. The air that you are breathing, it's God's. The food that you'll eat later today, it's God's. The house that you'll go home to, the car you'll drive to get there, they are gifts from God. The strengths and the abilities that you have and the opportunities you have to procure an income, they come from God. The income comes from the job that God provided, therefore God provides the income, even though he uses other people to provide it. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And so we have to ask the question, what do we have that we have not received? The answer is
nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. There is not one thing that we have that we have not received. And I like the way Micah puts it at the end of, towards almost the end of his book, Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. He says, "Who is a God like you?" Speaking about God, about Yahweh. "Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession?" You know how many times Israel had experienced that truth by the time that Micah is writing? Yet neither do I. "He does not retain," Micah goes on, "he does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread on our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." You see, God asks us to walk as he walks, to walk humbly, because even though God is the God of the universe and deserving of all of our praise and honor and glory, there is a humility about him. And in that humility, he desires for us to love him. And he shows us his love and his mercies and the fact that he doesn't strike us down the moment we commit a sin. Because he could. Our sins deserve that. But yet, Micah says he casts our sins into the seas, into the depths of the seas. Today is a day that the world sets aside and says, you know what? Today we remember those who are less fortunate than us through St. Stephen. Today is a day that we give to those who serve us because we remember that every gift comes from God. And if we listen to the Christmas hymns and the Christmas songs, there's lots of songs and stories about giving something to someone else. The spirit of Christmas continues in the series, in the idea and the concept of giving. And while it's a great concept for Christmas and for Boxing Day and St. Stephen's Day, the problem is it's not just for 3 days out of the year for us to be giving people. It is a call for this to become the way of life. And Micah asks the question, how do we give true gifts to God? Do we bring sacrifices? Well, that depends. But we become giving people. People who are marked by the attitude and the act of giving. Because we serve a God who gave his Son for us. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to sing one more song. I'd invite you to very strongly consider at this time of year the gift that God gave so that you could be forgiven of your sins. We'd love to visit with you about that, but for the rest of us, it is a great reminder that Jesus gave and we are called to give. Let's stand as we sing this next song together.